Body. It's really good to see you. I know I see you every week, but it's still good to see you. I was kind of laughing at what Pastor Ace said this morning when he was calling Madame at Westerman. Remember?
Madam.
In England, we have certain sayings that are here would be like, and then you have certain sayings here that makes me go, and a madam, you know what a madam is? No? It's a lady that runs a prostitute house.
No, that's here, not in England.
No, that's in England. We are more better at it than you. We go high class. We go high class.
You swam to
Ireland. Nah. And we don't even call them prostitutes. We call them call girls. No, that's all right. I was just laughing about it. Because a lot of times Canadian people come out with things that, to me, it's like we have a saying in England, I'll knock you up in the morning. I mean, here people go, what? Knock you up in the morning? You know? But it means we'll knock on your door and we'll get you up. So now I've given you a lesson in English science and what they mean. Thanks, Brock. Thank you. It's good to laugh, isn't it? It's good to laugh. Yeah. You know, every young girl in England, when I was growing up, that was their secret desire to be a madam. Because it was such a high class, wealthy position to be. And, you know, it's not. It's bondage. It's terrible to give a woman to her life continuously to a man like that. To many men. But anyway, we won't get on that subject. Father, we just pray this morning that for your grace on me this morning, Lord, and Father God, that we will enjoy each other today, that we'll get something out of this message, Father. And Father, I just thank you that you are our King of glory. You are our good, good Father this morning. We love you, Father God. We love you. We desire you in this place. We give you first place in this church, Father God. We give you first place. And we thank you and we bless you, Lord Jesus. And we praise you, Father God, in Jesus' lovely name. Have you got your Bibles? Yes. Lift them up. Say, this is my life.
This is my strength.
This is the word that I obey. Amen. This is our life. As a Christian, if we take lightly the word of God, we will not build our spirits up. We will not be ready for whatever Satan would like to sling at us. This is your life. Just as much, and we've said this before, as food is for the body, so is this for your spirit. When I build my spirit man up, and a lot of times we don't even realize, Brenda, that we're doing it, but the more we listen to the word and the more we look into the word, we're building our spirit up. We can't feel it because we can't touch our spirits. But you pray in the spirit, you pray and you seek God. The more you do that, I found the other day something happened and my emotions went in to par and I started to get upset and fretting and all that kind. But in my spirit came some scriptures. In my spirit came strength and my spirit overtook my emotions. And that is the fight of faith. That's an everyday thing that you and I have to face. There's never a day, I don't know about you, Tammy, that goes through that you haven't got to make a stand and things that come at you and you have a decision. Am I going to obey the word of God? Am I going to give in to my spirit or am I going to give in to my emotions? I want you to look at Galatians 2:20. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father, this morning. We love you. We love your word. Your word is life to us and health to all our flesh. This is a famous verse, but I want you to see something in here. Galatians 2:20. Okay. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, this is the part I want you to see. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My title of this today is Faith to Live By. So often, you know, we talk about faith as a something that we can use to get something. When we're in trouble, we use our faith. When we want our needs met, we use our faith. And it can be a sporadic thing, but in here it says we're to live by faith. Faith is to be a continuous thing in our heart. That's why we need to guard our heart, because there's one thing, and it's good to know this, that Satan will come after, is to take your faith out of your heart. When the seed of faith is in your heart, Satan will come by cares, sickness, disease, to choke that word, so that word is not working in you like it should. If you get into unbelief, the heart becomes hard. I always think of it like a callus. Over the years, the more you give in to unbelief, the more the heart gets hard. You lose your sensitivity to God. You lose the oomph inside of you. I had to stand up on my feet the other day and say, no, in the name of Jesus. I'm not yielding to my emotions. I'm not yielding to my soul. I go by my spirit and I go by the word of God. And it amazes me, the whole atmosphere, you know this, Brenda, can change within seconds. When you're feeling depressed and you can feel that oppression coming on you, and you think, what am I going to do? I don't see any way out of this. But if you'll draw on the word that you've put within you, little word, little faith, that's the way it goes. But if you'll draw on that word that is inside you and say, I choose to walk in the Spirit today, Noel. I choose to give in to the Spirit of God. I choose to give in to the Word of God. What does the Word of God tell you to do? Rejoice. Rejoice. A lot of times when I'm in a situation, I hear that in my spirit. And I think, I don't feel like rejoicing. But I have a choice. Who do I yield to? Who I yield to in situations can determine how that situation turns out. I'm facing a procedure that I have to go through in 2 weeks' time. And in my natural self, and because I'm a nurse, there's no way on earth that my flesh wants to go through that. Because I know how unpleasant it is. But I've had to choose ahead of time. And this is what I want to teach you this morning. Let's not let things hit us and not be ready for it. Because they will. Jesus didn't say everything would be roses. He said, you'll have tribulation in the world, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome. So things will hit us, and let's not be taken back at them, but let us stay in faith. Let us stay in the word. If anything I could say to you, nothing has took me through life like this has. Nothing. I don't even think I'd be here today if I hadn't built myself. But we're in a church, the church right now, who do not value this, who do not see the need of it. But you need it. This will feed your spirit. This will give you life. This will bring you joy. This will bring you peace. And I don't know, I can sometimes just open it at the Psalms, and it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I go like this, soul. Bless the Lord today. Soul, do you hear me? People speak to cars, Noel. They curse cars when they don't work. How should we not speak to things? God is a speaking God. But if you haven't got any words to speak, what are you going to do? Think of that. He's given us His word. Satan hates this word, because if he knows what you will do with it, he's in trouble. He's in trouble. He really cannot touch you or get you down or yield to his attacks if he thinks you'll come at him. come at him. We're not, this story of God and Satan is not a, like a little fairy tale. I went and watched Rogue One the other day, and with my friend here, and the battle, you know, good against, and when there was the door opened, and you could see a figure there, and you could hear, and everybody's going, ah, Darth Vader, yes, here he comes. And I thought, we joke about that, but we're in a world where there's satanic activity all around us. Demonic spirits have been loosed out in this day like never before, because Satan knows that his time is short. But if you and I are foolish enough and proudful enough to think that we can live this life without the word of God, you're going to be in for a shock, because you can't. Telling him to shut up is not enough. Use this. This is your sword. This is your sword. I like to poke him one with it. I'm not being funny this morning. That's how I think of it. I think of him as something like a dirty, filthy pig coming in my nice, clean house. And I'm just sitting there nicely reading my word. And here he comes with his fiery darts. Do I sit there and listen to them? Or do I get on my feet and start, get out? God will meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. I overcome by the word of my testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and I love not my life unto death. Do you think he's backing off? Yes, he's backing off, Noel. He's backing off. I'm not bold in myself. I'm bold because of the word of God. But if the church doesn't use it, they will be depressed. There's more depressed people in the church right now. There's more divorced people in the church. I'm a Christian. I'm divorced. And it shouldn't be. But it's a lack. Why do people perish? Because of the lack of knowledge of the word of God. And we can't be lazy. I know we're busy lives, but we've got time somewhere to put a CD on to play the word. I do my housework and I listen to the word of God. And sometimes I've got my mind on other things, but it's the word. It's the word. It's amazing. You put that CD on and you just hear something. You think, oh, yeah, I see that. And then you go on dusting and vacuum cleaning or whatever you're doing. But that word is going into you. Your spirit has got ears. Your spirit has got a heart. It needs feeding and it loves the word of God. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When you're in the car, put a CD on. When you're at work, start quoting the word to yourself. Quoting your word, the word of God, goes down into your heart. And that's how you build your spirit. What you hear, what you say, what you listen to goes into your heart, whether it's good or whether it's bad. If you're listening to the world system all the time, that's what you'll speak. When cancer comes, what are you going to speak? What are you going to say? I heard of a man the other day, he had a car crash, and his wife was really cut up with the car crash. And there was nothing wrong with him. But he came up to her and he said to her, I am a dead man. When they did autopsies on him, there was nothing wrong with him. But he spoke, he's speaking when you speak words of death, and who knows what he'd been speaking all that time. You keep saying all your life, oh, ha, 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 I'm going to get Alzheimer's. Oh, I want to smack people when I hear that. If you ever say that around me, please don't say it around me. My mother had Alzheimer's. I worked with Alzheimer's patients. That is nothing to be joked about. But people say, oh, I'm losing my mind. Ha, ha, ha. You know, I must be going funny in the head. Well, yes, you will be going funny in the head if you keep saying that. Because words bring things to us. If I'm always afraid of everything, and I'm speaking, oh, I'm afraid of this. And last night, I got a little bit afraid to teach this morning. And I thought, I'm teaching on faith. Come on. What are you fearful about? Nothing like that song said this morning. What faith is an action based on what I believe. That's what faith is. Faith is an action based on what I believe. Faith is an aggressive word. It's not a passive word. You could have thought, Noel, for years about receiving Jesus into your heart. You could have thought about it. But one day you had to use your faith and say, come on in. Right? That's an aggressive word. Faith acts on something. It's not just something you think about. It comes from my relationship and the knowledge of his word. My relationship with God. This is how we build faith into our hearts. Galatians 3:11, you don't have to look these up. If you want to write them down, you can. The just shall live by faith. Faith connects me to God and everything that he is. Let's look at Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Why is it impossible to please him? Because he needs our faith to work with. As a church, we need to build ourselves up with faith. He cannot work. God cannot work with unbelief. He won't stop loving you. He won't stop caring about you. He won't leave you or take his spirit from you. Can you perk up this morning? You all look like you're half asleep. Perk up a little bit. Get yourself sorted up in the chair. I know you're tired. I know. Someone asked me this morning, why were your eyes bloodshot? I said, because I haven't had a lot of sleep this week. I'm a black and white person. I don't like the middle bit. I just like it's either this way or it's that way. You know what I mean, don't you, Jody? I like that. I like to know what I'm doing. I like to know what God is like. I don't want ideas in my head. I want to know what he's like. I want to know because I want to put my faith in him. And if I put my faith in him, I'm expecting him to answer me. I don't like hit and misses. I don't like fire and darts. If you know what I mean. I want to get what I'm after. That sounds a bit cold, but I want to get what I'm after. If I need some joy and peace, I want to thank him, God. I put my faith in you today. That my joy and peace will just rise up in me. You'll give me a song to sing to you today. He's marvelous for doing that. Sometimes I wake up in the morning and it's like I'm listening to a radio. I'm half asleep because I don't wake up and just jump out of bed. It takes me a while to get out. And I can hear a song sometimes just singing in my heart. I love that. He'll do that for you. But you've got to believe him for it. You've got to ask him for it. Okay. We honor him when we keep our faith in him. Not just when there are needs in our lives, but because of who he is. Trust in him every day to take care of us because he is good. Remember what this is called, faith to live by. Just adjust your thinking. We always talk, like I said, about faith to believe for something in the sense of a need or something, whether it's healing or anything. But this is a faith. I get up by faith in the morning. I go out on my day by faith. I around people by faith, trusting God, trusting he'll give me the right word to say, trusting that he'll use me for his glory, like we just sang about giving ourselves away. What will faith do for you and me in our own lives? There's a fruit, what I call a fruit of faith. When you walk in faith, you walk in joy and peace. In Hebrews 4, let's just look at that. Hebrews 4, 1 to 3. Are you getting anything out of this morning?
Yes.
Good. Just go see if you're still awake. Hebrews 4, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, See, even reading this word, you've got to approach this word in faith that God is going to speak to you from it. Don't just read it. Put your faith out. Put your expectation. Lord, what are you going to show me today? What do you need to talk to me about? I believe that you'll lead me in your word today and talk to me. That's how he likes you to talk to him like that. But didn't proffer them anything, not mixed with faith in them that heard him. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Do you know what rest of faith is? Does anybody understand what rest is? No? When you enter into rest. Yes. Yes. It's when the mind is quiet. The soul is not going, oh my God, I got to do this. There's when you've committed that day into the Lord, when you get up in the mornings, and I put in whatever I go, whatever people I meet today, Father, I rest in you. It's telling him that you rest in him, honors him, because it shows that you trust in him. I love that place of rest. Do I live in it all the time? No. I'm aiming at it. I'm aiming to get there, but it's work. Because you've got to deal with this thing between your ears all the time. But it's a lovely place to be. It's a powerful place to be. Because do you know why? Because the mind and the soul is quiet. And the spirit is able to take charge. You can be led by him. You're sensitive to the promptings of the spirit. Because you're not in here. You're not figuring out and thinking out and what am I going to do about this? And what am I going to do about that? When you do that, you've almost given this charge over your spirit. But when I'm in that quiet place where I'm trusting you, Lord, today. I'm not liking this, but I'm trusting you. You can hear him better, which we all want to, right? We all want to hear him. He can speak to you. He can prompt you to look at something. Sometimes he'll prompt me to look at a book. And I'll read and I think, oh, that's just what I needed to see. So it's the leadings of the Spirit of God that are so valuable to us. He can check you. I've had him warn me in days gone past not to do a certain thing, not to go a certain place. Sometimes I've obeyed him. Sometimes I've gone against it. And it's turned out for my ill, if you understand what I mean. And I've regretted doing. Whenever we go against the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not that he won't stop loving us, but it's like a father that's trying to protect you. Say, Jody, don't take that route today. Don't go that route. What's he doing? He can see ahead. Always remember that. God can see tomorrow. He can see next week. He can see next year. And so he's leading us and checking us. So faith brings rest as we abide in him. It says in Hebrews, in Amplified, he who believed and relied and trusted in God do enter into rest. Rest is the opposite to worry. Faith will bring you peace and joy. It will cause you to be thankful. If you're not in faith, it's hard to be thankful. It's hard to be grateful. God likes us to be thankful. The greatest problem he had with the children of Israel is that they moaned and complained. Don't moan and complain, please. If you have to put a sip on your mouth, don't do it. Because it opens the door to the enemy. He needs to hear faith coming out of our mouth. It's best for you not to say nothing than to speak a whole load of stuff that you're going to have to take back later on. Learn that. We're in a nation now where people speak constantly. I was with a lady the other day in the hairdressers, and I was there for 2 hours. And bless her heart, she didn't come up for breath for 1 second. It was continuous, 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 continuous talking. It weirded me out. I got out of there. I thought, oh, it just weirded me out. I'm not good with continuing. And we live in a nation where people talk like I've never heard before. Very rarely if you get a quiet person now. And it's not good, because what are you, if we get like that, it's good if we're speaking faith. If we're complaining and groaning and then, oh, and poor me. We like to entertain poor me at times. And we speak that out. What you hear, remember this, goes into your heart. What is in your heart will come out of your mouth. Can I say that again? What you hear will go in, and what you speak will go into your heart. And then you'll speak it again. It's a continuous cycle. I think years ago, and this is worth repeating, I told you about... It's all right. It's okay. Did you shut it up? To be thankful, to have a song in your heart, Noel. He loves you to sing to him. We need to do what God loves. Amen. We do. We need to love him so much that we'll be obedient to him. And faith pleases him, because then he's got something to work with. I'm going to take Noel's example. Say he needed a new car. I know you don't. But all you ever did, every morning when you got up with that old car, was complained about it. I never know whether it's going to run all day. I don't know if it's going to stop on me. I don't know. I'm sick and tired of this old car. Listen to my words. I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of this. I'm sick and tired of that. I mean, all day you hear people like that. But they don't know any different. We know different. We don't have no excuse. When do you think God would bless him with a new car? Not very quickly. Not very quickly. But when you get in that car and you say, hallelujah, I see myself driving the best car I've ever driven. This car is going, another car is coming. Hallelujah. You did that, your father would say, oh, look at him. He's speaking faith. Yeah, I can work with him. Do we understand the power of faith? I'm speaking to me this morning. This is the blessing of teaching. I go home and I got something from it. This is the power of our words. When you're tempted to moan and complain, when you're tempted to get in fear about a situation, when I knew I had to go through this procedure in 2 weeks, I had to say to myself, everything will be all right. I'm not going to fear. Father, when I come to that day, your grace will be enough for me. What am I doing? I'm setting a pattern in the spirit. What if I say from here now, oh my God, I don't want that done. I don't like what they're going to do to me. Oh my God. What if I keep saying that till next 2 weeks' time? What kind of state am I going to be in by then? See what I mean? We wait for things to come, but we need to deal with things and speak things what we want to come to pass. It's for our good. It's for our good. And it pleases him. It pleases him. In Psalm 33:21, it says, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Proverbs 16:20 says, whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. I didn't realize happy was in the Bible. I saw that the other day and I thought, oh, I'm going to check that out. I don't think happy is in the Bible. And I found it's in there quite often. Do you know what happy means in here? It means to go forward. To go forward. What a strange thing to say about the word happy. But that's what it means. To keep going forward. Because unbelief will stop you in your tracks, but faith will take you forward. Can we talk about the enemy a little bit this morning? Let's talk about him, because we don't talk about him very much. I like getting him riled up. Not because I'm arrogant. I say, Lord, let me preach, so I smack him right in the mouth. I like that. I like to do that, because he's evil. He's 100% evil. I used to think when I was born again, there must be a little scrap of good in him. No, there isn't. No, He's the personified Isis. If you want to look at demonic possession, not oppression, look at Isis. Any person that could look at a child and take their head off is demonic possession. What is possession? Possession is when demons have taken over the spirit and the soul and the mind of a man. You don't very often see, you see people demonic oppressed. You see people that have ministered to people and cast demons out of them. But you don't very often see a person that is totally possessed. But if ever a time we're seeing that group of people of Isis and what they've done to people is total possession. Right, Pastor Ace? That is. So now you're seeing it right in front of our eyes. In Luke 22, 31 and 32. Let me find that. Luke 22, 31. Always remember that Satan comes after to take your faith away. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren, that our faith would not fail. We need faith as a church to keep going on. We need faith to believe God that this place is going to be filled. We need faith. It's going to take faith. And if we start looking about what we see, you can't walk at faith and look at the circumstances. You just can't. Jesus didn't. Jesus just stood strong in faith. In 1 Timothy 1:8, 18, it talks about war, a good warfare. What warfare? We are in war with the enemy. We are in war with the enemy. Not because we want to be, but the minute you choose Jesus, you enter into that fight. And the fight of faith is what we are called to. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. In Ephesians 6, it says, above else, lift up the shield of faith. Do you dress yourself in the morning with Ephesians 6? Do you put on that helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness? Do you put on your loins girded with truth? Do you put on the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit? These are weapons that are being given to the church to use against the enemy. We need to wake up, Tammy. We need to wake up that we are in a spiritual warfare. Just because we can't see Satan, just because we can't see demons, we see the effect of him. Where do you think cancer comes from? Jesus? No. Anything that is destructive in your life, anything that is out to destroy you, has got its root in demonic activity. This is why we need to get our armor on. That's why we need to fight. Not each other. The church has done that too long. Not each other. This is a time to come together, arm to arm, in unity, support each other, pray for each other. Use the weapons that God has given to you. 2 Timothy 1:13 says to hold on to faith. Hold on to the form of sound words. Watch what you are speaking. I really feel that today to emphasize that to us. Watch what you are saying. And if you say the wrong thing, don't go and get sorry, feeling bad about it. But correct yourself, because your words and my words are either life or death. I'm either speaking life over myself or I'm speaking death over myself. It's a form of prophecy that we don't realize we're doing. We speak things over ourselves. We say, oh, you wait. This time of the year, I always get sick. I was listening to a lady on the bus the other day, and I'm not putting her down, just using an example. And they said, oh, you got a cold? Oh, yeah. She said, always this time of the month and this time of the year, I always get sick. Every year, she said. Every year on my daughter's birthday, she said, I get sick. What is she doing? She's prophesying over her own life. It won't have a lot of effect if she says it a few times. If she goes on the rest of her life speaking like that, you wait. Time of the month. My brother-in-law, and I've told you this, but it's so powerful. I knew him when I was 20, and he had siblings, 12 siblings. They all died at 59 years old. All of them just dropped dead. Because all their life, Noel, I heard them say, and he would say, you wait. He used to say to me, I can still see him. He's a nice man. He said, you wait, Linda. When I'm 59, I'll drop dead. And I used to say to him, Tick, his name was Tick. Tick, don't keep saying that. Don't keep saying that. Is it okay? It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. I said to him, please, please, Tick, don't keep saying that. Every sibling had dropped dead at 59. Massive heart attack, just suddenly dropped dead. Here he is one morning. A lady asked him to clean his, to fix her fireplace in England. We have a lot of fireplaces over there. What happened? He dropped dead. Just turned 59. This is why this is important. This is important. This is not something you and I can just take lightly. Think about what you're saying. Think about it. Before you open your mouth, think about it. Train yourself. Not to a point of bondage, not a point where you feel you can't say anything, but just think about what you're saying. The words are powerful. I remember my sister said one word to me when she was about 25 years old. Can I be blunt with you? Me and my dad, we were very close. And my sister was terribly jealous of it. Terribly jealous of it. And had no need to be. But she would always turn things and make them filthy and dirty. And she said to me, oh, you're like people that are in incest. You know what incest is. And that word, that one word, I had to keep pulling down. My dad had never touched me. My dad was the gentlest, loving man, and I know that does happen at times. But one word stuck in my mind, and I had to deal with that for years. Every time he would hug me and love me, it was like this word pop up. Oh, incest. Because it's filled with death. And it can, death words, we should not be speaking over ourselves. And if we love each other, we're very gently correct each other. We will. It's not a put down. If you hear me speaking things that are death, then say to me, you shouldn't be saying that. Say it in love. Say it in love. Why? Because I care about what will happen to you, Tammy. I care what will happen to you, Noelle. Brenda, I care. And I can't stand there and just watch you speak a whole load of death over yourself. Don't mean to be heavy this morning, but it's powerful. It's powerful. We must build our faith because what you believe will come out of your mouth, faith or unbelief. We do not want to be ignorant of Satan's devices. That's another thing. He's watching for your words. Every day, Satan is listening to what's coming out your mouth. Because do you know why, Noel? He can take them and use them against you if they're not faith-filled words. He is full of doubt and unbelief. God cannot work with unbelief. It will hinder him. Jesus was in a town once and he said he could only do a few miracles because of their unbelief. It will harden our hearts. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and Satan caused them to sin. I like this. This really amazed me. See, I looked this in the Amplified in Genesis 3:1. When Satan came, that old snake, when he came, listen to this, what he said to them. Remember that God had told them not to eat of the tree of good and evil? He said, this is the Amplified. Can it really be said that God said? That's what he said to them. Can it really be that God has said this to you? See the undertones of the enemy? The enemy is crafty. The enemy is subtle. He don't come and stand before us and say something to us. He sneaks up behind because that's his character, and he whispers in our ears. You have said to yourself, I'm going to be healed. You believe in God for healing. Satan comes and said, can it really be that God would heal you? That's the way he talks to you. Oh, people don't always get healed. See the subtlety of that? See the creepiness of that? And that's what he's after. Do we want you healed? No, we'd like to take you out of this earth. As long as you're in the earth, you're of value to God. But he would like to take you out. Learn about his ways. Be quick to hear him and what he comes with. Don't put him away. The church kind of ignores Satan in this day and age. I was brought up in a time when you'd be in a service and somebody would fall on the floor and start manifesting demon spirits. You've probably seen that in your country. And what would we do? We went over, we were preaching, we went over, cast the thing out, person got back on his chair and went on. That was normal church to us. We were glad that they got free. We don't want demons oppressing Christians. We don't want that. When he came, let me say that again. Can it really be that God has said? That's how he comes. Jesus said, by my stripes you are healed. But Satan will say, do you really believe that God will heal you? Do you really believe that? See, horrible doubt and unbelief. If I meditate on that, it will start taking over my heart. Even if the word of God is in my heart and I meditate on that doubt as far as healing is concerned, it will rob me. If you want healing, to believe for healing, is a really serious healing, is not an easy thing to do apart from the word of God. When he comes at you like that, you need to open your Bible up and say, here, Satan, let me read something to you. Isaiah 53. Certainly, he bore my sicknesses and my diseases, and by his stripes I'm healed. Do you want another word, Satan? I'll bring you another word. 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes, we were healed. That's how arrogant and bold you have to be with him. Because otherwise he will overcome everything you're reading in here. If you allow him to get into your mind and doubt and unbelief starts to get in, it will nullify the word of God in you. You won't be speaking with faith then because you're more convinced about what he has said than the word of God has said. And this word is not for lazy people. This word don't work for lazy people. You've got to study this word. I'll be honest with you. If I needed healing, like for cancer, and I do need healing in my body, I'm in the word. I'm not bragging to that. I spend hours listening and reading the word. Why? Because I need a miracle, especially in my heart, my physical heart. And so I stay in this. So when he comes and he tells me, you know, because when you listen to doctors and they're telling you you're going to have strokes, you've had a heart attack, you probably have another, you've got to counteract those words with something. And what are you going to do if you don't have the word of God? What are you going to do? Look at Jesus, how he handled Satan. Luke 4. Okay. Now look at this. Jesus was sent into the wilderness to be tempted. Look at Satan's ways. Learn his ways. Can I say that to you, this one? Learn his ways so that you'll recognize him. How If you don't learn Satan's ways, like you've got to learn God's ways, how will you recognize him? You will be deceived. Remember, he is a masked spirit that's been on this earth a very long time. He knows mankind very well. I'm not bragging on him. I'm bragging on the Lord. When Jesus was in the wilderness, the first thing he said, here's again, three times he says, if thou be the Son of God. That's verse 3. Then you look down at verse 7. If thou will therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. All shall be thine. And then verse 9. And he brought him into Jerusalem. And he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from it. All doubt challenging the lordship and who Jesus was. If you are this. If you are a Christian, oh, you shouldn't behave that way. It's always everything. This is a good way to test. Everything that's destructive, everything that brings you down, everything that feeds you death is of him. I don't care how it comes. If it's challenging your faith, then it's from him. Always. Doubt and unbelief, always from him. Healing, I just want to talk about healing a little bit and then we're going to close. Healing is a forever settled thing in the Word of God. There is nothing more argued over, nothing more misunderstood than the subject of healing. Most people will say, well, yes, God can heal when he feels like it. These are old, what I call old religious talk. He can heal when he feels like it. Well, sometimes he heals and sometimes he don't. Well, I'm still waiting for him to heal me. All these things are religious. They're traditions. They're things that a lot of times, I know somebody won't like this, but they're excuses. Because if you want to be healed, get into the Word. You must get into the Word of God. You must get into the Word because there's so many misconceptions of whether God heals or not. And I, like I said to you, I like what's black and white. I like to know, do you heal or don't you heal? It's got to be that plain for me. Otherwise, you waver. Isaiah 53, by his stripes, you were healed. Many years ago, I had arthritis of the spine and God healed me. But the thing he said to me is, Linda, I've already healed you. When did he heal me? When did you get saved? On the day you accepted God? No. You were saved 2,000 years on Calvary. He paid for that then. He not only paid for you to get saved, Noel, he paid for you on that same time to be healed. So you are healed. But whether you believe it or not, the hard thing to do is to stand on it. I've been praying over something now in my body for a good few weeks, and I'm gradually seeing the results of it. But that's the part where people lose it. They come up for healing. I've heard people say in this church, well, I Pastor Ace or Pastor Joy laid hands on me, but I didn't get nothing. They don't realize they have a part to play. This is a big part to play here. When Jesus was walking about, what did he respond to? He responded to faith. He even actually said to them, it's by your faith you're made whole. He said that over and over again. He was moved by faith. You cannot go up to a pastor and expect their faith alone to heal you. It's wrong. I have actually laid hands on people, and sometimes when I do that, there's an anointing that comes out of me into those people. A lot of times I feel it come back again because their faith is not receiving. The best thing you can do if you need healing in your body is spend a few weeks in that Word and then get somebody to lay hands on you. Why? Because if you say Pastor Ace lay hands on you, he's got enough faith to believe. But what have you got? Once you're both in faith, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. Brother Copeland said to the Lord one time, why don't everybody get healed? And he said, healing always comes, but people don't know how to receive it because they don't realize that they've got a part to play in it. You can't rely on your pastors to heal you. God might overlook that when you're a little tiny baby Christian, but when you've been saved many, many, many years, it's time to believe his word for yourself. There's nothing wrong with getting him to lay hands on you, but you have a part to play in it, a big part. And I believe this is where, when you come up here and they lay hands on you, healing always comes. Most times it don't come right away. But this is where you stand, having done all to stand. I put my hand on my neck about 6 weeks ago because I was losing my voice so much. And it's still there a little bit, but it's going. It got terrible, so every time I didn't want to get on the phone because I'd lose my voice. I laid my hands on, I put the blood of Jesus on my hands. I said, I thank you that I'm redeemed from every curse because Jesus became a curse for me. And I stand. When I got up the next day, was it any better? No. Next week, was it any better? No. But I stand. I don't budge off of that stand. That by his stripes, I am healed. Jesus bore the most terrible thing for us, that we could have healing. Salvation is a package. Salvation is not just getting saved. It's deliverance. It's healing. Is whatever you need in salvation. So understand that. Get in the word. Whatever you need to have in your body done, whatever you need to have in your family, you cannot fight the enemy without the word of God. To receive, a lot of people do not understand. They have a part to play. Faith in God is a lifestyle. It's not getting my word out. Something has hit me. Where is it? Where is it? Let me find it. No, because most of the times you won't have enough faith in your heart to believe whatever has hit you. But when you're staying in it, and I know Loretta is a word person, she loves the word of God. When you stay in it, lifestyle, faith to live by, then you're ready. Brenda, you're ready. You're ready for what comes. You're ready what comes. Faith in God is a lifestyle, not just when we get sick. Jesus looked for faith in people. God wants his people well. He needs you to be well so that you can be of full use to him. Never believe that God, well, he just doesn't want to heal me. I guess I'm just one of those that he didn't heal. Don't settle for that. He paid a too high a price to settle for that. This is not about what I did or how I feel. This is about what he paid for. I mean, I read Isaiah 53 the other day and I could have cried because he was slaughtered, Noel. He was slaughtered. He wasn't just beat up. They said he was so marred that there was no recognition of him. But not only because he took sickness and disease on him, but he took the sin of the world on him. And I realized that when I compromise and I settle for less than what he paid for, I'm dishonoring him. There's no condemnation in that. We just don't realize these things. Do I love him? That's what we have to ask ourselves. Do I love him? Some people find that embarrassing. But do I love him? If I love him, I will honor him. If I love him, I will read this word. If I love him, I will love you. I will want the best for you. If I love him, that to me is the secret of our life. So see this word as your life. See it as your life. See it that you must spend time in this word. Because I don't want any of you to be hit with things that you cannot stand against the enemy with. This is a weapon. And this is why Satan has fought so hard to take it out of the church. He has. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word that has gone forth this day, that it will not return unto you void. That, Father God, we would take you seriously, that we'd realize that you've given this wonderful word that is God-breathed word to live in our hearts so that we can use it in the last days. We can use it against the enemy. And, Father God, that we don't have to be sick. We don't have to be poor. We don't have to be oppressed of the enemy. We have a weapon that he cannot resist. He has to obey. And Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the shield of faith around this church today. I thank you, Father, that we're people of the word. We're people of the sword of the word. We use it, Father God. And we thank you not only for ourselves, but for others. We cover each other with prayer. We cover each other with our faith. We believe good things for each other, Father. And we thank you for loving us so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.